us in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Pastor David Yours with Maranatha, a church of worship, the word, and healing. If you could tell in my voice, I'm a little excited today. Well, then again, I'm kind of always excited when it comes to the things of the Lord. But I look forward to this opportunity every Monday afternoon to spend and to share some time with you. But before we get into the teaching, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me. Father, we bless your holy name. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We praise you. You're such a wonderful, you're such a gracious and a loving God. We thank you, Father God, for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our precious, bright and morning star. And Father God, we are so thankful for the Holy Spirit who leads us into the truth. And Father God, I declare now, God, let utterance, Lord God, come forth out of my mouth that I may speak boldly, but also, Lord God, with clarity, that your people, Lord God, will understand and grow, Lord God, in the things of God. We love you, we appreciate you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. Well, good afternoon again. I am so delighted to be before you this afternoon. Also, I'm so thankful for those that have called and showed your interest in the ministry, in the teachings. We definitely solicit your prayers that you will continue to pray for this prestigious radio station, that you will continue just to pray for this ministry that is doing a tremendous job. So we invite you also just to come and just to worship with us. You know you can contact us at 561-383-6574. And I believe you can also reach us and look us up on our website, www.maranathainter.org. Well, as you know, we've been talking about teach me how to pray. And I believe that as we teach you how to pray, then you could be more effective. What I want to do is I want to get you into the mode of praying more, praying for your community, praying for your family. Now that you've been learning week after week how to pray, put it into practice and now allow God to now use you to have an impact on your schools, impacting your business, impacting your community, impact on the United States. Pray for the United States. Pray for our leaders. As you know, we've been talking about teach me how to pray and the seven steps to answered prayer. But before we get into that, I want to just kind of touch a little bit about prayer in itself. Because a lot of times when we look at prayer, we think of prayer of just coming before the Lord and I have a list, I have a grocery list of things that I need to ask him for. But it's more and it's deeper than just you asking God for something. When we look at prayer, it gives you the idea it's a communion and a communication with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves us with an unconditional love. But it gives you the idea of a child coming to the Father, just like how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and just listened. So when we look at prayer, it has communion. When I look at the word communion, I looked at this word communion, and it means the sharing or the exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings. It speaks of friendship, just like how Moses was a friend of God. It speaks of harmony. It speaks of connection. When you're so connected to God that you kind of feel, you know, how he may respond or may feel about a certain thing. So when we come to in prayer, it's our communion with God. You remember when God came back to Adam, and that there was a place where they usually meet, and he came back and he wasn't in that place, and he says, "Where are you, Adam?" And I believe that in that statement, there was so much of the fact that he missed that communion. He missed that time of sharing, the time of exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings and that friendship. So when we come into prayer, it's not just you asking yourself, it's you coming before your Heavenly Father and you're sharing and you're exchanging of intimacy, heart to heart, all right, spirit to spirit. It also speaks of communication. Prayer is communication. So when we speak of communication speaks of, is literally a process of transmitting or sharing ideas, opinions, and facts, and kind of bounce ideas off of each other. And you always have like a sender and a receiver. So it's not just you doing all the talking, but you give God the chance to speak back to you. So there will be an exchange of information, an exchange of ideas. But also, I believe that when you go into the presence of God, there should be some type of transformation, impartation, and then when you come out, you can have demonstration. When you go and you have prayer with God, that should have some type of impact on your life. Before, you weren't patient, but now you're more patient. You're now more loving. Why? Because the Father is rubbing off on you. You see that? Okay. So when we come to prayer, we have to understand that God wants us to be in that communion. He wants to be in, like, for instance, in John chapter 10, verses 30, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." In St. John's 14 and 20 says, "I am in my Father and my Father, and you in me and I in you." And then even in Jesus' prayer in John 17 and 23, his prayer actually says that they may be one. So I just want you to keep that in mind, that when we come into prayer, it's not just us asking God for stuff, but it's actually a time when we become even more and more like our Heavenly Father. Now, the seven steps to answered prayer. I believe we're on like five or six. Let's kind of go through them real quick, and then I'm going to definitely try to make an attempt to finish it today. That's a good deal? Okay, good. Now, the seven steps of to answered prayer. The first step, be specific and stand on God's promise. In other words, decide what you want from God. Find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Like, for instance, you're praying about healing. You get scriptures that sets the foundation of where you're going to spring from. So you get those scriptures, and then you get those scriptures now firmly fixed inside of your heart. You go over them. And you keep going over it and over it until it becomes a part of you. So you're specific, and then you do what? Yes, you stand on God's promises. You get scriptures that coincide with what you are praying to God for. Like, for instance, when we look at scriptures like St. John's chapter 15, verses 7, I believe in verse 1 it says, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." Jesus says that I am the true vine. If we look at verse 7 real quick, it says, "If you abide." Now, what does actually mean to abide? When you abide, says someone, how do you stay? You remain. You stay there. Now, Jesus says, "If you abide in me," that's the key now, "and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." So before there is an asking, you will ask what you desire, there is an abiding, there is a communion, there is a fellowshipping, and there is a staying in his words. And that's the first step. Be specific and stand on God's promises. All right? So we first step. The second step is ask God for what you want. What I mean by that? It means to ask God for the things you want and believe that you have received them. This is very important. Like, for instance, if we go over to like Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verses 23. We see it's also written in red. This is Jesus speaking now. It starts off at verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. In other words, have the faith of God. Verse 23, for absolutely, assuredly, or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what is your mountain? What is that obstacle that is in your way that needs to be removed? It says, whosoever, you could actually put your name right there and says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Remember we talked about that? Diakrino. It means to pull back. It means to waver between two opinions. Just like the youth mate says, I don't know. You really don't know which way to go. It's a doubt in your heart. It says, so no doubt should be in your heart. So it says, do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say will be done for you, and you will have whatsoever you say. 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, last week we talked about the fact that receive comes from the word lambano. It means to take. So the moment you get down on prayer, you're believing that you take it and you have it. It has not manifested yet, but you believe that you already have it in hand. Lambano, you receive it. You receive it. So the next step is, so we have step one, be specific, stand on God's promises. Step two, you must ask God for what you want. Now let's look at step three. Step three speaks of you must be positive in your thinking. Positive in your thinking. In other words, let every thought and desire affirm that you have whatsoever you ask for. After you pray, never allow or permit a mental picture or failure to remain in your mind. You never doubt for a minute that you don't have the answer, because the last step we talked about the fact that you believe that you receive it. It's in your hand. You took it. Now, in this step, it's a little bit more aggressive, because in this step, you have to now guard what's already in your hand. Now, the enemy now comes to introduce and to unpackage his briefcase called doubt and unbelief. All right? And you have to now deal with that, because the enemy now wants to get you off track so you don't get your answered prayers. He wants you to doubt, just like he came to the garden and he wanted Eve to doubt. Did God really say? Is he really going to come to pass this time? So at this step, just like in James 4, verses 7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil. You see that? That's your action. You have to now resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? You pull from the foundation of those scriptures that you've already been meditating on. And then you remind the enemy of those scriptures. You resist him. That word resist means to stand against. It means to oppose. It means to withstand. So you stand against, you withstand him with the word of God. Jesus did the same thing when he was in the wilderness, and the enemy came to him and says, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He responded by saying, it is written. That's how you respond to the enemy. So be positive in your thinking. And at this stage, just like in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, the scripture says we cast down every imagination, casting down every thought that's not in line with what God is saying. So you literally pull down those imaginations or those thoughts that are not, that are opposing what you are praying for. We noticed that even with Jesus, when he was getting ready to go into a house to pray for an individual, oftentimes he would come to a house and there will be, come into a room and there will be mourning and there will be just wailing and just kind of going on and on and on. And then Jesus would politely put them out of the room. What was he doing? He was literally putting out doubt, because doubt cannot operate in that same room as faith. The fourth step, guard your mind. Guard your mind. This is a very important step. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." So we have to guard against every evil thought that comes into our mind to try to make you doubt God's word. And that's the enemy. That's his battlefield. He operates in the realm of the senses. He wants you to doubt what God's word says. So what happened is that you have to now take your thought process and now put it on the word of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8, it tells us, it says, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things." When you see the word "think on," it comes from the word logizomia, logizomia. You have L-O-G-I, and then you have Z-O-M-A-I. That word "think on" means to take an inventory or take an estimate of what am I really thinking about? What is dominating my thoughts? Because as a man, what? Yes, thinketh, so is he. Or as a man thinketh, so he becomes. So our thought process is very important. That's the reason why we have to guard our mind. In Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3, the scripture says, "The Lord will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He will keep us in shalom, shalom." That's a double peace. I don't know about you. I could take some double peace right about now. Now, step 5, meditate on God's promises. Let me say it one more time. Step 5, meditate on God's promises. So we have to meditate constantly on the promises upon which you based your prayers or your answered prayers. When we look at the word "meditate," it's a very important word. And I believe that if you are looking to grow spiritually and really want to go to that next level in your spiritual walk with Christ, you have to take this particular step very, very serious. Meditate on the word of God. You remember when it was time for Joshua to take over the reins from Moses, God came to Joshua and said, "Hey, Joshua, Moses is now dead. You have a people that you're getting ready to lead. Come here, sit down right here. Take this word, take this scroll and sit down. And I want you to meditate in this scroll day and night with the intent to do what you are thinking on." And then it goes on to say, "Then you will make your way successful." You will make your way successful. So meditate on God's promises. In this fifth step to answered prayer, we have to meditate on God's promise. In other words, we meditate constantly on the promises of which is based on the answered prayers. Now, we look at scriptures. One of my other favorite scriptures is taken from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. I think I might have read this same scripture just about every single day, because it kind of brings perspective and how our approach should be to the Word of God. By the way, this Sunday, I am going to be preaching on the blessing of the Word. You don't want to miss that sermon. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss. Okay, I was kind of distracted for a little bit. Can I get back on track? Okay, good. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. It speaks and it says, in verse 20, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Let me read that again. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Is it an approach you have to take? You know, approach a word with well regard. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep my words in the middle of your heart, in the midst of your heart. In other words, meditate on my word. In this answered prayer, in this fifth step, if you don't see yourself healed, the word of God has departed from your eyes. It's just as simple as that. So we have to see yourself with the answers. See yourself making the plans. See yourself whole. See yourself back jogging again. Your leg is not hurting anymore. See yourself, you know, with that new job. See yourself. In other words, meditate on God's promises until it becomes a reality. Okay? So meditating is a very important step, and that's step five. Now, in this meditating, some words that come to mind is, like, for instance, David. When you read, like, through the Psalms, you see David, like, for instance, Psalms 77, 11, and 12. And this was actually Asaph describing the meaning of what it means to lay hold of the truth. Some things that he kept in mind and some things that kind of he was saying. He says, remembering, and he also used the word ponder. The first word is remembering. It means to call to mind the deeds of the Lord or his wonders of old. You take note of the truth and you draw it back into your thinking. What God has accomplished for you, what God has accomplished in the Word of God, what God has accomplished in Exodus, what God has accomplished in the Passover, in the giving of the laws. You put and you remember, you call back to remembrance. David, we see that he's very good for the fact that he would meditate on the Word of God upon his bed. He will remember the days of old. So David gave us a great example of what it means to meditate, to ponder upon all his works. So the fifth step is to what? Yes, meditate on God's promises. Step six, continually thanking God for the answers. This is a very important step. So oftentimes we'll go down in prayer and we will never stay in a mode of thanksgiving. Even if you have not seen the manifestation of the prayer, of the answer to that prayer, you stay in a mode of thanksgiving. What you happen is that you're setting the thermostat of that room of continual faith. You're setting your room, your spiritual room, in a faith atmosphere, and you're breathing faith by saying, God, I thank you. People look at you and say, you haven't gotten the answers yet. Well, to you, you haven't gotten it, but I already received it. I took it, and I thank God for the answers. Now, when we look at, for instance, like Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, it says, do not be anxious for nothing, but it says, we should always be in the mode of thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving speaks of being grateful, a grateful language, gratitude, and actively being grateful to God. It's actually an act of worship. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the answer. You're such a kind God. Thank you for the answered prayers. In Psalms chapter 100, verses 4, it says, give thanks unto the Lord and bless his name, for the Lord is what? His good. So we are thanking him because his goodness. When we take time and really think about the goodness of the Lord, how sweet he is, how precious he is, how kind he is, automatically it erupts this thankfulness that comes out of your heart. Lord, I am so thankful because you're a good God. I'm thankful that you're kind, you're considerate, your kindness lasts forever. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. I said, but Pastor, you don't know what I've just been through even today. How can I be thankful in a state like that? God says, you could still be thankful. David says, I will bless the Lord at some times. No, all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. So the sixth step is continually thanking God for his answers. giving thanks to God in all circumstances, because it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the seventh step is make every prayer a statement of faith. In other words, like for instance, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, it says, hold fast to the profession of our faith. When you see this word profession, it comes from the word homologia. Homo meaning same, and logia is where you get the word logos, where you get words. So you actually say the same word that God says. So when you make every prayer a statement of prayer, this is step seven now, you are literally saying what God has said. Saying what God has said. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 23, it says, put God in remembrance of his promises. In other words, not like God has amnesia, but we have to remind him of his word. Like for instance, remember you said in your word, by your stripes I am healed. Remember you said that I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. What you doing? God says, oh, I love that. I love hearing my words spoken back to me. And that is the seventh step of what? Answered prayer. Now let's go over it real quick, because my time is pretty much elapsed. The first step is be specific, stand on God's promise. Two, must ask God for what you want. Three, be positive in your thinking. Four, guard your mind. Five, meditate on God's promises. And then we have six, continual thanksgiving for the answers. And seven, make every prayer a statement of faith. Well, I am so thankful. My time has come to an end, but I believe that I'm looking forward to seeing you in our service. I'm looking forward to you being a part of our service every Sunday at 10 a.m. Also calling us at 561, hey, write this down, 561-383-6574. I'm going to be looking for you. I'm going to be listening out for your call. Okay. I need to hear from you. Also go on our website and sow into this ministry. I believe that this is a ministry that we are in a process of getting our own building, and I want you to partner with us, and I want you to sow in partnership with us in getting our own building. Go on our website, and when you see on the top, it says more, the drop box, drop it down, and then you just click on it, and then you sow right into this ministry. I pray that God will just richly bless you, is my prayer, and that I will continue that this will be a blessing to you, and that you will begin to start praying more, praying for your families, praying for your community, praying for the people that you come in contact with, praying for our country, and I pray that God will bless you, is my prayer. May God richly bless you. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Does the Bible sometimes seem complicated to you? Well, to help you get a proper perspective, we invite you to join us on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee each weekday on this station as we go through the Bible in 5 years. Dr. McGee teaches the Bible in an easy-to-understand way, and you'll appreciate his simple, down-to-earth, and yet profound Bible teaching right here on the station.
Join Dr. McGee and the Bible Bus at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.